Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Conan.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I'm bidding a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this Thursday edition of Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep. Spencer Israel, Joel Elkanen, Dennis Dick. Earnings continue here. Splunk, JW Nordstrom, L Brands, Hormel, Dick's, BJ's. We'll cover as many of those as we can, or as many as we feel like it. We have another Tesla takeover rumor this morning. This one from a German magazine that we are trying to dust up on our dust off our German skills from whatever grade you took German in to try to understand. But we have that happening. We'll talk about the follow-through in that. So a number of interesting ratings this morning. SolarEdge catching a downgrade. That's interesting because solar has been really hot this year. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the downgrade to Wayfair. And our guest today, Mark Chaikin at 8:15 from Chaikin Analytics. Joel, what's happening here overnight?
We got a nice range, and we got a nice rally going on. Sprinted up to 29.39 early in the after-hours session. We've just been talking about 29.40 all week. That's the barrier to new all-time high, 7 points away. Let's see if we got the mo to get there today. Nice level on the downside, too. Your intraday low from yesterday, 18 even. Your current low, 18.50. Absolutely no downside in the market until we take that out. Crude trading up 48 cents here at 56.16, trying to get a rally here, and it looks like it may set one up here. Next potential area of resistance here. Let's see what would be a nice breakout in the crude market. I would say if we could clear 57.5, we could test that $60 level. Gold down 1240, clinging to 1500, parallels at that 1503 area, keep an eye on. Silver back under $17, down 18.6 cents at 1696.5. And Bitcoin just drifting around 10,000. The futures down 100 bucks at 9,955. We're going to bring in Triple D here. Triple D, I am in a very, very good mood today. You know why?
Why?
Going to a concert tonight.
Who?
Florida Georgia Line.
Who is that?
You never heard of Florida Georgia Line?
Must be a country band.
Or Dan and Shay? Or Morgan Wallen? Come on. Spencer, you've heard of Florida Georgia Line, right?
Yeah, they're horrible.
They're horrible as a country?
Yeah, they stink.
You damn it. They're rock and roll, man. Wait,
now I have people asking me, people have been thinking of being asking me where they're playing. So if you want to go see Florida Georgia Line too?
They're playing. Where are they playing?
Joe, where are they playing?
DTE.
All right, DTE tonight. Oh, my
God. I went to a concert. I didn't even talk about that. I went to a concert last weekend. And interesting enough, it was a country concert. I'm not a big country fan, but my wife likes it. You know Chris Stapleton?
Oh, he's excellent.
He's good. It was really good. But I'm not a country music fan. I kept thinking, like, I'm trying to like this. I really am. I'm, like, kind of enjoying myself here. But at the same time, like, his voice is excellent. His guitar skills are unbelievable. So just 1 second, I gotta make a trade.
Okay, if Dennis, if you,
of course I missed.
If we grew up,
okay. Radio show cost me so much money, man. I was sitting here trying to make a point. I was like, oh, I got to get out of this trade, and I missed.
You'll probably make 2 points on it.
That's going against me. I got a loser control here. Anyways, going back to Chris Stapleton. So I'm not a huge country music fan, but my wife wanted to go, so I was like, okay, I'll go. It sounds good. Let's do it. And it was a good concert. The only thing is, like, when you're not a country music fan, I'm getting a second shot at this stock. Holy cow, it's a busy morning. Okay, I'm out. So now I can concentrate. So, beautiful venue, Ontario Place in Toronto, nice venue, fun concert, good music, but I kept thinking to myself, I was like, this would be so much better if this was, like, 90s grunge, or, like, I like Pearl Jam and Nirvana I liked back in the day. I even like gangster rap. I'm just, the country music is just not my thing.
You're not listening.
What about you, Spencer? You like country music?
Not particularly, although I do think Chris Stapleton has an also, like you, has an amazing
awesome voice. Like
you said.
I just wish he didn't, I just wish it wasn't country.
What about like Brothers Osborne or Keith Urban?
Respect, but that's more rock, and he's got some good.
No, stuff. That's country. See,
it's country, but it's a little more rock.
It's country rock, which is what Florida Georgia Line. Okay,
maybe that's what I'm a fan on. But
that whiskey song,
yes, that song's
pretty good. I mean, I enjoyed the concert. I won't say I enjoyed it. One thing to consider: Ontario Place and Budweiser stage. Ask me how much beers were.
$15.
$18 a beer.
Is that you? That's Canadian, though?
Canadian, so it's like $10. But okay. Is that not insane, though? Who pays $18 for a beer?
Canadian.
That's crazy. Crazy. So crazy. These
All right. Sorry to do.
Anyway, I like the Chris Tate. My wife loves them, so I went for her. And you know what? I actually kind of did like it. And I'm not a country music fan, and I kind of did like the music, so that's saying something.
Okay. All right. I mean, there's some good songs, man. But anyways, sorry for the tangent there.
That's a 10-minute tangent on country music. Bad tangent.
All right. And we only got 8 minutes to mark shake it.
Tangent.
Okay. Let's go.
So let's bring him back to Splunk here. They had earnings after the close yesterday. Here we go. Adjusted EPS, 30 cents, 12 cent estimate. Sales, 517 versus $488 million. Q3 sales guidance was higher by $10 million, $600 million versus the $590 estimate. They also raised their full-year sales guidance from $2.25 to $2.3 billion. So a good report all around there for the Splunkster.
Fade trade would have worked very well on this one. I cannot believe how crazy this stock was on the earnings. So bring up that after hours chart, and it's all true. That thing tanked on that initial number. So buy the dip on the good stocks would have worked. It went down to the 117 handle. 117. So they basically took that thing down over $10. And within 20 seconds, 30 seconds probably, it was back to scratch, and 2 minutes later it was at 140. So the algos had no idea what the hell they were doing on that one, but sold it off. Algo absolutely annihilated would have been when it went from 118 to 140 in the next 20 seconds. Then it's trading up there for a while, and then I think the conference call maybe or something, but it started to leak, then gives it all back, and now we're back here in the red again. So the range on this thing, give us the range, Joel. This is an incredible after-hours range for a stock that's only down $4.
You have a pre-market low at 117.20, and then you did make a new all-time high at 141 and a quarter. No, I believe the all-time high is 143. But
in any regard, 141. So
yeah.
So you're talking about a 24-point range. Stock's only down $4, but what a range. I mean, if you're trading options or you have option positions there, and you can trade the stock against it. Obviously, there's a play on this one. I mean, it doesn't work as well on the target where they keep going, but the ones that chop around, you're fading them. Holy cow, man, there's some money to be made there. And I sometimes think on some of these loved stocks, you put those discount bids in there, and even if you know, it seems like they get the drop, and they almost always seems like they get at least an initial quick bounce back. And then it's a matter of, you know, does the dust settle and does it start to leak down to those after hours lows? But I've done it a couple of times. It obviously takes a lot of guts to do that. Like I said, I faded the Toll brothers because I'd seen Toll do this a few times. And Toll isn't going to go $5 against
him. Yeah, that's a different stock.
Safer stock. So it's one thing, hindsight's 20/20, to say, oh, yeah, you can buy Splunk down $10 and it could go down 20. You know, we just saw Target rally $17. So if Target can rally $17, a Splunk move can move 30. So anyways, big movement on Splunkster. It was chopping the cloud stocks all up because obviously they were going to trade down a little bit because they follow Splunk a little bit, and then they're all trading way higher. And then Cramer does a piece last night on Mad Money on a lot of the cloud stocks, and a lot of them are still trading higher despite Splunk trading lower. But wild night for the Splunk stir.
I'm just going to talk about the quiet consolidation here since 6 o'clock this morning. Basically, you've traded in a range from 123.20 to 125.5, and it's quiet now. Bulls and bears are battling it out there. Price discovery going on, so I try and go under that 123, maybe go back down to the low. If you can clear that higher end of the bar at 125.5, 126, more room to rally, but very quiet here and just consolidating. So we'll see what happens with SPLK. I don't think you'll see either the pre-market or the after-hours high or the after-hours low.
It's leaking. The after-hours high, I think, is out. I don't think this thing's turned around because it's traded a lot since then. But I would not be surprised if you saw that low again because we're not that far from it. It's going to be wild. So we'll see. I'm probably not trading it. I do trade sympathy off it, though. But like I said, a lot of the other cloud stocks are up here this morning because Cramer did do a piece on cloud last night, and they were all trading higher. So don't expect big moves down and a lot of sympathy here because and Splunk isn't one of the main leaders. I mean, we're going to get one of the main stocks tonight with CRM earnings, and CRM is trading up $2 ahead. Again, I believe Cramer was talking positively about it last night. We know he loves that stock. And he does move stocks, so you have to respect him for that reason. Let's move away from earnings. I want to go to this Tesla story.
Okay. So,
which we don't know because we don't speak German.
One of the – hey, speak for yourself. One of
the – I'll interpret.
Well, no, it's called Google Translate. One of the largest shareholders in Tesla, James Anderson, his firm owns 7.5% of Tesla, gave an interview to a German magazine in which he said a number of things. He supported the company. He said he could see it. He couldn't envision it existing without Elon Musk as the CEO. And he also said that Volkswagen was preparing an offer. I don't know. I guess he is a source because he's such a large investor in the company, but I don't know about this one.
This is in German, so I looked at it, and I obviously can't read German, so I have no idea. So I'm relying completely on the media to interpret the story for me. Zero Hedge did do a little bit of interpretation there. Obviously, Zero Hedge, you know, it does some fun interpretation sometimes of stuff, but they were saying that there is a potential offer on the table, or not on the table. They were preparing an offer for Tesla. I don't know if I buy any of this from this journal because I don't even know the source. I don't know anything about this guy. I don't know if he's just talking his book. And obviously the market is not putting much weight in this either. Cause I mean, the stock's only up $5. If there was a real offer coming from Volkswagen, the market really felt it, stock would be up $50. So, and I think, you know, and some other people were saying in the article, and I don't speak German. So if you read this, please help me out. I think they were saying, you know, they were preparing, but it wasn't imminent. It was saying in the event that the stock failed or something. So again, this is just my scenario. And I've said this before why I wrote the 120 puts is I think if the stock went down low enough, I think there is buyers. I don't think somebody's coming paying $300-$400 for this thing. So that's why I kind of wrote the non-bankruptcy. I did the non-bankruptcy trade with those puts. And that's, you know, where I'm at with this right now, obviously.
Yeah, Tesla, you know, it had the news yesterday, and we just kind of talked about this thing. It's just, it did, it went down. It was, how did it end up on the day yesterday? I mean, all things considered with, you know, being sued by Walmart, you did go down, but the most of the action was in the pre-market in the after hours. Especially, we got a little echo. You know what's going on there today? Can you hear it, or am I the only one hearing it?
Not on me.
Just started on Joel. Anyways, okay, whatever. We'll figure that out after. It's very resilient. We've talked about this. I mean, we even said on the show yesterday, I was like, I'd be scared to buy it because it's a really bad headline. I mean, your solar panels caught fire. It sounds like a quality issue. And obviously, it's a part of their business as well. I mean, the cars is the main part, but they bought the Solar City. They got the solar panel business as well. And Walmart sued them because their panels caught fire. I mean, that sounds really, really bad. So I look at that and think, I don't know. I don't really, you know, like that idea of going and buying the stock. But again, they shrug it off. Yesterday, the stock hardly goes down. And now it's up here this morning on some German
report that
Volkswagen might be sniffing around.
Well, no. So Street Insider gave some good context, and I think they did a little bit more translation here. Essentially, what I'm gathering, the takeaway from this article is that what it actually says is if anyone can convince – Elon Musk to sell the company, it's the CEO of Volkswagen. Not saying he will. Saying if there's anyone who would be able to do it, it's Volkswagen. Okay. And he meets with Elon Musk twice a year, and they talk about how they can work together and all sorts of things. But okay. It's highly speculative. This is not a thing.
The stock would be up 50 if there was really a takeover on the table. So this is just talk. It's just talk.
Right.
And I wouldn't put any weight in this at all. What I would say is when they had the 420 offer, where when they were potentially saying financing secured, remember I think it was Goldman. Somebody reported that Volkswagen would be part of, if they could get that.
I do remember that a little bit.
A Volkswagen would be a piece of it. So it's the second time we've actually heard Volkswagen in passing. So if in the event that this thing's, you know, in trouble, I think Volkswagen could come and, you know, help out and potentially buy it. So that's why I just sit here. I don't think the thing's going to zero. I really don't. I think if it went low enough, it would get bought. That being said, I don't think anybody's coming and buying this for $300-$400 either, because it's burning cash like crazy. And why not let them continue to burn cash until, you know, we're absolutely, we need help. That's my thoughts.
I'll just say here, 229 just looks like an area of contention here. Went to 828.51, 2863, and now you're below that area. So the non-believers are selling here at 229. I don't know if there's anything here on the dailies that would support that. Let's see here. I see it. This looks like a little sell zone there. 228, 229. You break above there, you get into the 230 handle. But right now, first things first, you're $4 off that pre-market high of, I think it, the actual high is 228.69.
All right. Let's go back to the earnings parade. No, retail is hot.
Got shaken.
Let's not do that. I swear you can't talk over Dennis. He's just a machine. But let me bring Mark Chaykin on here. He joins us every other Thursday at this time. So just give us a thoughts on anything we ask him with the markets. He's pretty good about anything. Mark, good morning. Oh, wait, you're on mute. Let me unmute you here. Mark, good morning.
Now. Avidly to the Tesla conversation. You know, I'm
here. Right, bring us back. Bring us back in here. I mean, do you read German?
No, but I do read a $40 billion market cap. Who in the world's going to pay $40 billion for
it? They're not.
It's burning cash. It's great.
They're not. What about my thought process, though, Mark? This is what I did a while ago. I wrote the 120 puts, the leaps. Because I think if the stock went down and got to like a $20 billion market cap, obviously some debt they'd have to chew up too. I think there is potential buyers down 100 points lower.
I actually like that. Did you get paid well for it?
Oh, you get paid 20 points over $20. You still can right now. So going out a year and a half, you can get 20 points for the 120. So I'd be in at $100.
I like it.
I mean, you know, that's a non-bankrupt. If it goes bankrupt, it goes to zero, I lose 100 points. So I'd be pretty ugly. So, but if it doesn't, I think if it doesn't go bankrupt, I think it's above $100 a year and a half from now. So obviously the bankruptcy would, it's, I'm calling non-bankruptcy is what I'm calling with
let's,
that trade.
Let's talk about happier things, like
sure,
the market's going higher here and nobody's expecting it to go higher. I love it.
That's just what this market does. It climbs this wall of worry for how many years here now? I mean, we have continued to climb the wall of worry. There's been lots of things to worry about, especially as of late. China, inverted yield curve, which the media talks about every single day because it inverted for 5 minutes yesterday again, and they say every time it does this, it leads to a recession. I mean, the media runs with this because it's good stories. You know, fear is it sells. So, but you look at this, and this market is just resilient. Every time we pull back, at least on the overall market, we find buyers. So what are your thoughts? Are we going to make new highs?
I think we will. We're heading into a seasonally favorable period starting this week, looking out a month to 3 months. So, you know, the early first 3 weeks of August typically is seasonally weak. We've lived through that pullback. And I think we will make new highs. I like the market here. And part of it is sentiment. Equity flows out of global equities are just enormous, ETFs and mutual funds. It's not just mutual funds now. So they're selling U.S. equities. They're selling global equities. You got to like the market when everybody's draining money and putting it into bonds. I think bonds are the big risk trade, still do, except for that, you know, what I call artificial demand because of the zero interest rates on roughly $17 trillion. You know, artificially depressing our 10 and 30 year yields, I think the bond market could be in trouble.
Who buys a bond with a negative yield? Who's doing that? Who's buying these bonds? Yeah, I don't get it. I can't grasp the concept.
There are, you know, erudite studies out of places like JP Morgan and so forth that make the case for this. I don't get it either. But as rates trend towards zero, the insurance companies are sort of scrambling to get whatever yield they can. But I'll tell you where you can get yield. I have two stocks to talk about.
Yeah.
That one has no yield. The other has a 5.38% yield. Twitter and Telephone. I think these stocks are looking really, really strong. Twitter's sort of coming out of nowhere with a great looking chart. And telephone's doing fine with that very, very big yield, which I think investors can use as a alternative to the what I think is a very risky bond market.
What's its symbol? Telephone? What's the symbol?
Telephone. T. Come on.
Yeah, come on, Dennis.
I didn't know what you're talking
about. Dennis.
Your telephone.
Dennis, you got to get out.
I got to get those jokes. I don't get those jokes.
Everyone knew.
T is looking good. You know what? I've dogged T for a while, and I still am skeptical of T just because of the debt load there and some very questionable acquisitions over the last few years. But I can't argue with the 5.8% dividend, and I can't argue with the chart. The chart's been doing pretty good. So I had my T for a long time, and I sold it just because I was scared about the debt load. I'm still kind of scared of that. That's why I don't own it. There's obviously, you know, reasons things have 5.8% dividends. But again, it's probably safe for a while.
Yeah, I mean, they totally mismanage acquisitions. So that's the long-term negative in the stock. But you got to love the chart here and the yield. You know, even on a stock like Verizon, where we have a bearish power gauge rating, on AT&T, we have a bullish rating. The yield is a bit of a floor under the stock. So I'd rather go in this direction than to the electric utilities, which have no growth potential whatsoever.
Spice is coming up with a question here. S&P RSI divergence, Mark's thoughts.
Doesn't much matter because we've been in a seasonally weak period. And I think it's all going to play out very nicely as we get into September. I think earnings have been really good. Look at the retail sector. Look at housing because of the low mortgage rates. Mm-hmm. I think you've got a group rotation that can really help the market, everything except energy. I don't think energy is ever going to participate in group rotation in our lifetime again. But that's a little harsh, but bottom fishing in energy doesn't really pay. But retail came up big yesterday and then again this morning with Nordstrom, which has been a very weak stock in the power gauge. So if you get retail kicking, and we know the consumer was flush with money and very positive, it just wasn't showing up in bricks and mortar retail. But based on the reports out of Target, JWN, Lowe's, this is a strong retail sector right now, and that could really help the market.
I mean, big earnings last night, and we haven't talked about the Nordstrom report here yet, but you know, you saw Macy's disappoint. Kohl's initially popped, but then they hit it too. So obviously Nordstrom had a lower bar to beat. And some of these stocks just beat down so much that maybe they're just due for a bounce. Do you think this is really the story changing at a stock like Nordstrom? I mean, at one time, you know, the former family there was trying to take the thing private at 50.
50.
Now it's 26. So if you're that family, like, it's pretty cheap right now, but it's just keeps getting cheaper.
There was a rumor 2 weeks ago that one of the Nordstroms was trying to get funding and the stock spiked up 15%. Looked like a sale at that point in our technical work with a bearish power gauge rating. And then it flopped all the way back to a new 52-week low. So I think it's going to be pretty tough to get that kind of financing, although money is cheap. But it's chasing, you know, profit potential, not deeper losses.
Right.
What about these financials, Mark? I mean, if they showed a little bit of life and then this, you know, inverted yield curve and stuff. Yeah. Bank of America can't get off the mat. A lot of these in a trading range. Many say so go the financials, so goes the market. Can we really make new all-time highs with lagging financials?
We can. We did in July, and I think we can do it again. I think as with the bond market, financials are being hit with something that they've never had to deal with, which is the prospect of zero interest rates. So the comments recently about the fact, I mean, they're coming from very, very smart people that we may very well go into a zero interest rate situation here in the U.S. is just putting a lid on the financial stocks. It's like a radiation blanket when you go get x-rays at the dentist. You know, you
how
can't
do they
really
make
move.
Money at the I look at the European bank situation where you do have some negative interest. I don't even understand how they can make money in that environment.
Yeah, this is a very strange time, but because of that, the market knows all this. Clearly the financials are the weak link, but I think the market can make new high. I mean, there's some strong sectors in here. Aerospace, defense, look at stocks like Lockheed Martin making new highs in here. The home builders, there's a lot to like in the market, and I think it's going to go higher.
I mean, aerospace has just been unbelievable over the last decade. I can remember Lockheed Martin, you know, back at like $80 in 2012. You're now looking at $383. It's been an incredible run. You know, NOC, the same thing. General Dynamics has not performed quite as well, but still pretty darn good. Smaller companies even. I have this one as CAE, and it's out of Canada. I mean, there's been some unbelievable aerospace performers here. Do you think that if you're coming in now, are you late to the party, or do you think the party continues in those sectors?
Well, I think you have to embrace volatility. This is what we've been saying for 3 months now, that volatility is your friend. So you don't want to reach for these stocks, but we had a buy recommendation on Lockheed Martin. If it dropped under 360, and it did, and that's your buy point. You've just got to buy these dips and take advantage of volatility. That was about, I guess, a month and a half ago, the stock was trading at 365. We said, you know, any opportunity to buy it under 360, do it. I think that's how you take advantage of what's going on in the marketplace, this crazy day-to-day volatility. You have your buy list out there. You have your buy points. It makes sense. Usually it's at a lower volatility band because the 21-day average is typically not holding in this kind of volatile climate. And you step in and buy, but you got to believe that this market's going to new highs. Otherwise, you're just doing it for a swing trade. But I do believe we're going to new highs. It may come before the end of the year. That's this whole 3,132 area, 3,200 on the S&P that we've been targeting may just come in what is the most fearful period in the market, September, October.
Mark, one more before we let you run. Salesforce here, due after the bell. What is the market or the power gauge, and what do you say about Salesforce?
Power gauge is neutral. There's been a lot of money going out of it. Chaikin money flow has been extremely negative on Salesforce for the last, I'd say, 6 weeks. So smart money is saying no. I know Cramer loves it. So they'll find a way to spin it, but the power gauge is neutral, so no edge there. And if Chaikin money flow reflects institutional flows, then it's telling you that smart money has been getting out of the stock.
All right, Mark Chaikin, you can find his research and insights at chaikinanalytics.com. I highly recommend the Chaikin Analytics app, the power gauge. Very useful for doing fundamental research. Mark, as always, thanks for the time, and we will talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, after Labor Day. Happy end of summer to everybody.
Oh, don't tell me that. Don't tell me that. All right.
No.
First thing, I have to get my boat out of the water.
All right. You got a while, Dennis.
Not really.
Why?
Because I'm at my cottage, so I got to get out. I got the boat out of the water.
What about September?
Of 2 weeks?
What about September?
No, I'm back. Your kid's in school.
Joel, September's winter. What do you mean?
It's over. That boat's coming out in a week and a half.
Oh, man.
It's crazy. It doesn't go in until mid-June. It comes out end of August.
It's going to be nice through mid-October this year. But anyways.
I wish it could bow year-round. Maybe I should move to Florida.
All right.
Another tangent. What is going on with CRM today? We just talked about it, but it's really getting a lift here now. Like, it's up at 149.20. Did somebody say something? Like, and we know Cramer loves it, and somebody was saying that he did not mention CRM last night, which I'm trying to think. He mentioned a bunch of cloud, and he might not have mentioned CRM. So what's the catalyst? Like, I mean, it reports tonight.
Why wouldn't it be Splunk?
Well, exactly. Why wouldn't it be Splunk? Splunk is down. So if it was Splunk, it would be trading down right now. Splunk's trading down 5%, but CRM's trading up. That's my point. It's trading up $2. It's completely ignoring Splunk. And, I mean, they're different businesses, but – you know, cloud, right? So it's completely ignoring it.
Pre-earnings run, Dennis, you've talked about
well,
that.
Well, and I do that. I mean, is this all just an earnings run? I mean, I'm really disappointed I didn't have this one because, and the reason I did not do it is because I was scared of Splunk. I didn't want to hold, like if you buy it overnight, you got to go through the Splunk earnings with the cloud stock. And I was kind of scared of that. That's why I did not do CRM. Obviously they don't care about Splunk. Stock's up $2. Is there some other analyst commentary, a price target raise or something? What's up? $2.
There doesn't have to be a reason, Dennis. Sometimes it's
buy.
Like
they just buy. Earnings are coming tonight. You got to buy it. Easy money trade. Just buy ahead of the earnings and sell before it reports.
Okay.
But going back to the earnings that we already got, let's talk about GWN here. Well, we did a little bit. We got Nordstrom and Dick, so we'll do them both here. Nordstrom numbers after the close yesterday, Q2 adjusted EPS, 90 cents versus a 77 cent estimate. Sales missed $3.78 versus $3.94 billion. They narrowed their EPS guidance for the year. So nothing great, nothing horrible out of Nordstrom. And DKS was this morning. $1.26 was their EPS. That was in line with the estimate. Sales of $2.25 versus $2.21 billion. So a pretty good quarter there for Dick's. Their full-year EPS guidance was in line. And that's the story. So pretty much in line for both Nordstrom and Dick's there.
Nordstrom is leaking big time. I wanted to short this spike actually last night when it was just spiking up, and it would have been a mistake because I would have been early. It spiked up like 28.5, and I was like, I might short some. Anyways, I did not because its stock is just crazy, and it wasn't really – I'm glad I didn't because the thing went over $30 last night. It is leaking. Half of those losses back. These retailers are just seems like in these ones, that, like not the Targets, but the ones we've been talking about, the Macy's and the Kohl's and the mall-based retailers, just and even the strip mall-based retailers, the non-big box. It seems like there's sales every time they pop up. And I mean, yes, you probably take some heat here. I don't know if you're getting it over 30, but if you're just saying, okay, this is getting ridiculous. I have all these tops over $30 that I can see from August, and you're fading it at that point in time. You're pretty happy right now. It's already down $2. So it looks like a good quarter being up $2, but it's already lost $2 of the after-hours gains. That makes me think it can leak at all.
Yeah, pull of Kohl's here. That 3098, I think that was what it was, 3098. 3095, pre-market high. Dennis, if you would have taken a little time and looked at your charts, you would have seen a trio of highs. Let's call it 3065. This is August 6th, 7th, and 8th. That's where it found its resistance finally. And I was looking at it, and I was just thinking, I didn't see a trade over 30 when I was watching it. And I just thought, man, that's just, you know, 30 psychological, be a tough level. We are leaking as we speak, coming off that high, 2836. So it's a slow leak. What do we got to do to get to the top of yesterday's range? Whew, we got a ways to go to get down to 26.54 here, but it looks like the worm has turned here. And JWM for Dick's, their stores are still real big. That same scenario here, you got a real nice pop in this initial pop, 37.97. So you're only $2 off that.
37.97. These algos just overshoot everything. All those highs at 38?
Yeah, there you go.
I guess anywhere in the upper 38s, I think it's a screaming sell, my opinion.
Or upper 37s, you mean?
Upper 37s, yeah. If it gets back near those highs, those after-hours highs, I think that's your line in the sand for trying to short. Because look at the highs at 30. Back in May, kissed up to 38. Yes, you got over it in July a little bit there. But you had multiple bump-ups against 38. Somebody just wants out at 38. That gets up near 38, could have a big fish. It might stop it in its tracks. So, I mean, these things can get funny. We saw the lows, but the story is a lot better with lows in Target. I mean, this Dick's has been in a downtrend for a while. You go long-term on this thing. I mean, it's not as bad as some of them. Obviously, it's held up better. But the all-time highs were up at, well, in 2017, it was up $62. So, it's significantly off here. Yes, it's a 3.05% dividend. But, again, this is strip mall-based, big stores. I think problems. I think it's just another opportunity to get the hell out.
Dennis, folks, want a shop update here as it makes its climb for 400. You call it for 400?
Yeah. I mean, I'm kicking myself because I've talked about this.
We talked about this with Jeremy, too. That was June 20th.
We're in New York. I was like, you got to buy. You know, the shop is a good buy. Probably going to go a lot higher. We even said, Jeremy, I was like, I think it's eventually $500. I said that New York one is 300. I don't own any of it. Why don't I own it? You know why I don't own it? I can't stand the valuation. I'm just too much of a value guy. I got to ignore that. I just go with your gut and say, hey, there's no good Canadian companies. Every Canadian fund is dumping their money into shop because there's no other place to go because no good Canadian tech companies. This is one of them. So, I mean, that's why it's going to continue to get love for a while because you got a lot of Canadian money just pumping into it.
The monthly chart here is just unbelievable. I'm looking at the months up in a row, and you have one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. This is eight. The eighth monthly month serious gain, and I'd say it's probably 9 out of 10 too. If you go a little bit higher, all time high 391.45. You're trading above that right now. Just quiet it at 393. That's a look for shot.
It's going to 400. Probably go to 400 today. Stock's unbelievable.
I can't say no. Can't say
I
no
think
to
it's
that
500
one.
500 eventually. I'm don't own any of it. I've traded every once in a while, but I don't have any trade on right now. Wish I would have been in it.
A fun fact about
– I know the valuation's crazy, but the stock story is still intact, and there's no other place to go for your Canadian money.
Fun fact about Shopify, the company started because the founder wanted a way to sell snowboards on the internet. Today you learned about that. Let's go to L Brand.
Like fun facts. We should do like Fun Fact Friday. We just do a bunch of them.
Okay.
oh, we're going to have a fun show tomorrow.
Oh. Boy. Okay. L Brands, speaking of stocks, not doing well. I don't know.
This is a good read. This is a really interesting, not good as in good. This is a really interesting like information coming out of this. Give me some of the information.
Yeah. So the earnings report, the second quarter numbers were, I guess they were fine. The EPS beat, the sales missed, and their Q3 EPS guidance was very weak. They guided a 5 cent loss to a 5 cent gain estimate. That's the range that they gave versus an 8 cent or 5 cent loss versus 5 cent gain, and then 8 cent gain was the estimate there. So they missed on the EPS guidance there for the Q3, and their full year EPS guidance was, I guess we could say that's in line. So it's light on the Q3 EPS guidance, and everywhere else is, I guess, okay. But this company has been in the news for all the wrong reasons.
This was so much interesting stuff coming, you know, not only from the call, but just from, you know, just information coming out. And what I found interesting was, okay, so they lowered guidance for next quarter, and then they kind of reaffirmed the guidance for the full year, though. Like, it was kind of right there. Do you see that, Spencer? The full year. But then they said, well, that's contingent. So our guidance for the full year is contingent on Victoria's Secret's rebounding. They're saying they think Victoria's Secrets can rebound, and then we're going to keep our guidance. And if Victoria's Secrets does rebound, we'll be able to keep that guidance. But if it doesn't rebound, that means they're going to have really bad guidance. I was like, are you kidding me right now? I'm like, why are they not whacking this stock? Anyways, they haven't whacked it yet. It's still trading flat. That was absolutely horrid information. Victoria's Secrets comps were down 7% or something. Were they not? Am I making that up? I thought I saw 7% down.
Oh, they probably were. Let's see here.
I thought I saw that. I mean, I'm just reading headlines as they go by, so it's just in my memory. I don't have it in front of me. But Victoria comps were not good. That's their darling. So the darling's down 7% on their comps, and they reaffirmed their guidance. You know, and here it's starting to go down. But they reaffirmed their guidance and they say, as long as Victoria's Secrets rebounds. Well, it's probably not going to rebound. So then you're just going to say,
9%. 9%. 9% fall on that on those Victoria's Secret comps.
That's the darling. Well, your good part of it is falling. As we, you know, it's going down. I have no position on this thing, but I mean, this stock here, this is in the gutter right now for good reason. You know, with a 6% dividend, you're coming in here. You are buying a stock that is has serious fundamental problems. I am not buying the stock. I wish I, you know, I sometimes think I just short it down here, but I'm not going to. Because, I mean, retail is hot here today. Maybe it's like a rising tide lifts all ships, and maybe they shrug this off. But on any other given day, you know, if retail, like if Nordstrom wasn't good, and we didn't have the big Target and the Lowe's moves, and we didn't have, you know, Dick's trading up 10%, I think they whacked this thing on this. I mean, reading the tea leaves here, it sounds to me like they're not going to make that guidance. Because I don't think Victoria's Secrets is rebounding.
For whatever it's worth.
What are women wearing?
For whatever it's worth, Bath & Body Works comps are up 8%. So I guess – but that's not the darling of the company, Victoria's Secret is. So I don't know.
I think Victoria's Secret is their main brand, and that's down 7%. Their guidance is contingent on Victoria's Secret's rebounding. Okay, good luck with that. That's all I'll say to LB shareholders. Good luck with that.
To answer Joel's question, they're wearing Lulu. What else?
Yeah, exactly. It's all yoga pants now, not lingerie anymore. It's yoga pants.
Okay. All right. Well, now I know.
Now you know.
1945 is your level to keep an eye on. That was your low back a few sessions ago. And your pre-market low is 1958. I don't know why someone spiked this up to 2179.
That was before the call and all this other stuff, though.
Yeah.
So that's why sometimes Cramer said, you got to listen to the calls. And you do, and you get more information out of it. You're saying, okay, yeah, we think we can make our guy in Slaz Victoria's Secret's rebounds. Oh, but if the sales were down there 9%. But we think it could rebound. And then we'll make our guidance if it rebounds. If it doesn't rebound, we're in trouble. Yeah, no, not for me. No, thank you. Easier money elsewhere. Maybe it rebounds. Maybe they do turn it around. But mall-based, lingerie, store, no, thank you.
All right.
Next.
That's you, Spencer.
Well, we can go to BJ's Wholesale Club at earnings this morning. They beat on the EPS, missed on their sales, and reaffirmed their full-year EPS guidance and full-year sales guidance. Everything more or less in line with BJ.
Good enough is what it was. It's a good enough quarter. Again, stocks in a serious downtrend. Again, I think these are just opportunities to sell. Can they rip a little further? Yeah, there's room. I mean, this block
from 26.
Yeah, there's room up. There's room. So I'm coming 24.30. It might be early. I think when you look at it, if you're putting this in your long-term portfolio of 24.30, I think you're wrong. I think this thing is back at the low in 3 months. Sorry. Next, I'm really dogging some of these retailers.
26, pre-market high. You're just falling back here. You're still above $24 at 24.33. And I'm looking at like 24. I'm looking right at this area. There was a pair of highs at 24.34, 24.38. So, I mean, to me, it's opening right into resistance here. Above that, I think you got a chance to maybe rally up to that 26. But you're opening in right to a pair of highs. Let's see if you can take it through there, even get into the 25 handle.
I'm not sure the echo that keeps popping up on you.
Yeah.
Something's funny happening here.
Is it on me?
Gremlins hiding in the background.
On might be just on your end because I'm fine over here.
Anybody else hear an echo? Because me and Joel hear echoes. So do the listeners hear an echo? Let us know in the chat if you hear an echo on Joel.
It's probably a Zoom connection. Short DM.
No, thank you.
Hey, for Andy Y, real quick, Andy Y popping in. I haven't seen him in the YouTube chat at all. He said FSLY. I am not following the stock. I know nothing about it. I wish I would have owned it 3 days ago, 4 days ago. It's been straight up. This is a
what
new
stock
one.
Are you talking?
Fastly, FASLY. It's a newer stock.
I don't know anything about it. It's a newer one, isn't it? Because I haven't traded it. It is in my screeners, I believe, but it hasn't been out there very long. What's it been out there? 3 months? What do they do? Do we know what they do? Are they fast?
Spencer knows.
Probably a software company.
Spencer knows everything.
Well, if I don't know, I can look it up. Yeah, look at that. It's software applications. What do they do? That's all you need to know. Data center, central cloud storage, that sort of thing.
Okay. Man, if you look at the high here, it had, like I said, it hasn't been out too long. It made all-time high at 25.55. You know, the only trick in my bag here for this one will be the 50% retracement, 25.55 minus 14.11. I'm doing this divided by 2 plus 14.11. Boom,
great
boom.
Air math coming
through. Yeah, 20 bucks. I mean, as long as it holds above 20. I like it here. You are trading at 21.
I'll go with that.
Yeah. It's just weird. It's just a big move. If you're looking for a next target, maybe an upgrade. Oh, I got a number to keep an eye on today. 21.87. That was your high on August 1st. It's another 87 cents up here. So I think the longer it takes to get over that, over 22, you might get a little bit of a fade, but certainly a real nice move here in FSLY.
You know what stock's been running?
Solar
your favorites, Joel.
Roku?
Well, Roku's always around. I still say Roku. I was saying it could be 150 by the end of the week. Well, I got 2 days left with that, but it's still setting up not bad. No position. Pin interest. I love the way you say pin.
Oh, I know.
Again yesterday. It's the gap consolidation. So gap up on the good earnings. Wouldn't go down on the overall market. And when the market starts rallying, look who comes to the party. You know, you just got to look at relative strength, and that would have been a classic trade there. The gap, consolidate for a week or two with a crappy market, Market starts to revive. It's off to the races. I mean, we are close. Pin interest. This is all-time highs.
Yes, it is.
Yep.
3580.
All-time highs. Yeah. That's how Jules says pin interest. I like that.
Pins interest, yes.
I'm going to start saying that to my wife. It'll annoy the hell out of her because she goes on. I'm like, how's that pin interest going today?
I don't know what to say about it. It's just straight up 3656. Maybe if you got a target here, 40. I wouldn't worry about anything on the downside. You had that gap and go after earnings and, you know, put a stop under that gap, whatever attempts to fill it. But, man, nice one. I think, I don't know, I talked to Jeremy a while ago, and I remember when it got real sleepy at 28. I think he put a 28 straddle on. I don't know if he, how long he kept it on there. I hope he did it before earnings, but there's a point where the straddle would have worked. I'm not sure how expensive it was at the time, but nice move.
We had a number of interesting ratings today from the analysts, so I want to go there and start with Wayfair. They're getting an upgrade this morning from Steve or Nicholas to buy, and they're giving it a $150 price target on W.
I wanted to buy this last night on this rating. There was nothing really to it. I could have bought 117. I was like, I don't want to pay up $2. Guess I should have. It's up $5. Anyways, big move. Stock's been in the gutter. Not surprising it's going to get a lift on retail Thursday because it seems like every retail stock, besides Al Brands, which is starting to leak a little bit more, is up here today. It's a good day for retailers. So W lifting here. Stock, again, still in the gutter. I think you got room to look at all those tops there. We call it the four tops, Joel. You know where I'm going.
125. Yeah, again. I see that.
125 and a half to 126. Look at those four tops. That's where it broke down from. I think you got room back up to there. I don't think today. I don't think it's going up $10 on an upgrade, but there's room up to that area. But as of that, you're still buying a stock that is in a downtrend here, at least a recent downtrend, although not as ugly as some of these charts. Because if you went really long term, you could argue it's still in an uptrend. But on the 90-day chart, it's in a clear downtrend here. So I'm not getting too excited about it, but it's a nice lift for it.
A nice confluence here on the pre-market chart. You went right to 122, right on the kisser, and then you had a high at 122 on August 14th, right there. It had a big range that day. It had an $8 range. Ended up settling on the low of the day. I'm not sure if downgrade or was a bad day in the market, but 122 is your gateway here to much higher prices. And after that is the area, the four tops that Dennis talked about in the upper 125 handle. So see what happens. 122, first roadblock here for W. And there, what are they? The online furniture company or something, is that correct?
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Get my company.
Two downgrades that caught my eye, a couple of solar stocks, and we know that's been hot this year. Solar Edge downgrade to neutral at UBS and Terraform Power downgrade to neutral or sector perform at RBC. And Solar Edge makes up, what is it, 10% of the ETF, the best ETF of the year, and Terraform Power is 4% of that ETF.
It's been the best solar stock for a while. I think they had some exec leave too. I thought there was another headline. So, yeah, so the CEO actually, this is the big news here. The CEO, for health reasons, is I went on a leave of absence. I mean, here's a stock that has been an unbelievable performer under his leadership. And now he's apparently sick. That's scary. So, you know, obviously the stock was in the gutter, it'd be a different story, but the stock's done very well under this guy's leadership, and now he's sick. So that's why I think you're seeing a lot of weakness, not only because of a rating, but because the CEO's sick. Scary.
Yeah, I mean, it's a strong stock. It's getting a downgrade. It's had a big run. I would just take an eye. 82.14. is where you got to this morning. And what do I see here? Not much there. I'd see what happened at 81.61. I try and hold out there. Underneath that, you don't have much support until 78.81. So stock has had a huge run. It doesn't trade a ton of volume. What kind of volume this thing does?
It trades a little bit.
Yeah, around a million. But if someone wants to come in, well, million, million and a half.
It's big enough that people get in out of it.
Yeah, okay. I keep an eye on the pre-market low for continued downside. If in fact you can get to fill the gap, that's 85.49. So not that what you need to fill the gap and had its all-time closing high yesterday at 87.85. That's your.
We're lifting here again on this market. So. Yep. What are you doing, Joel? Are you out there buying stocks?
I'm not buying. I'm not selling here. Let's see what's going on with
It's not imbalances, I'll tell you that.
Now, how are the imbalances looking?
Well, GE has its sell imbalance every single morning. GE is trading down. The dog of all dogs. Look at this stock. Since its earnings report, that is the prettiest little downtrend line. And people keep talking it up. And the CEO came in trying to buy stock and talking it up. I mean, it's just every single morning for 3 years straight, there's been a huge seller. Every single morning. Whoever that institution has been selling, they must have just had a bazillion shares. Anyways, it's 445,000 to sell here. The stock is just continues to be in the gutter. I think it's going to challenge the low of the whistleblower move, which is 765. It needs to hold there if you have any chance of this thing eventually rallying. But the trend is absolutely not your friend in this one. Just jumping over, give you a few other imbalances here just while I'm looking. Bank of America, 139,000 to sell, which is interesting because TLT is down. So, you know, if that thing was to open flat, it'd probably be a good buying opportunity. You know, I like to buy the banks on the days that the TLT is trading lower. I mean, you know, that might be a catalyst for the market here as well. I don't really see too much. I'm trying to see outliers. I don't see it. Merck, 47,000 to sell. It's pretty big for Merck at this time in the morning. So that stands out because it is going opposite the market as well. I don't see much else. I'm always looking, and if people are wondering, I'm always looking kind of at the Dow Jones and, you know, the top components of the S&P. That's where I've got on my screen. Those are the ones I'm looking at.
Question for earnings we're going to get later today. Based on what we've seen already from retail, what would you do with Gap and Ross Stores here? They report later today.
I don't like the Gap at all. I mean, I don't know what it's going to do. Could it bounce? I mean, it's oversold. But I'll tell you, I think when I look at the Gap 2 years from now, it's under $10. So I think, again, I don't like the story here at all. I don't think the story is coming back. It's got a 5.63% dividend. But I'll even say in 1 year. I think within 1 year, Gap is under $10. So that's my long-term outlook on GPS. It is not good. Ross Store is a discounter. So it goes in like with the TJX, with the Burlington. Those have performed better. You know, it's like people that the shopper that does go to stores likes a deal. So I don't know why that is, but that's just the way, you know, it seems like it is anyway. So Ross Stores has been a pretty good performer here. So I like Ross Stores obviously better than Gap, but I'm probably not playing either in the earnings.
The Ross Stores, I mean, kind of a similar chart that you had to the Target going into the report, right? Just kind of hanging up near all-time highs and then blast it off. So let's keep an eye on that one. Gap.
This echo is weird on you. Like, it's not there and then it's there.
I don't know.
It's a Zoom connection thing.
Okay. Really?
Yep. I've had this with the other Zoom. It's not bad enough
We use Zoom every day, and it's usually pretty good, though. So
yeah, I know.
It's some props because they actually usually is pretty good.
Hey, Dennis, this is our real old news, but you remember when we were having all that problems with Skype, you know, before we switched over?
Yeah.
And then on their headlines when they, like, revealed some problems with Windows 10 or whatever, they also said that they were listening in to people's work conversations. Did you read that? It was in Pro. And that's what I think was the problem was, is that they were Microsoft was listening to our show secretly and taking notes.
To fix the problems.
They actually
multiple times fix it or we're getting a new product and we went from Skype to Zoom.
Sorry, they wanted us to pay up for like Skype for Business is what they wanted us to do.
They want us to pay up. They don't want us to use Well, we were paying though of something for Skype, weren't we? We weren't on the free Skype.
We were paying a little bit, but it was not as much as
we were paying the most. They wanted
probably to pay could have been.
Anyway, sorry, Microsoft, but Zoom got our business. We switched over there. What's got to be almost 6 months ago?
Yeah, it was a while. All right, we got about 5 minutes left in today's show. When any tickers, drop them in the chat. I know we've covered a couple already, but well, guys, what else?
Ratings, going back to ratings. I know you talked W.
Okay. Let's see here. Back to the upgrades, at least, because W was the only upgrade I really mentioned. We have upgrades to, well, a lot of post earnings were upgrades, as you would expect. Target, Jumia.
Citigroup wrote, no, it was a city that upgraded Target today?
Yes.
It was interesting because they're like, in the note, they're like, yeah, we know it ran 17 points. And it's kind of, they kind of went saying it's kind of gut wrenching to upgrade a stock after it runs 17 points, but they're like, it was just too good and we're upgrading anyways. What about that Target move though? I mean, that is absolutely incredible. That's one the most incredible move because the stock's so widely held. It's thicker. I mean, that's, you know, sure, stocks move 17%, but not Target. That's such a crazy move. And the earnings were good. I just didn't think it was like a 17% up move good. But it doesn't matter. I mean, what's hot is hot, and it's hot.
Yeah, trading up here just real quick. That we mentioned Zoom there, and that's a sleepy chart there. Look at the daily. This is. Yeah.
That's consolidation station.
Right there.
You know, if it falls under 90, I'll say this. I'll just say this range. You know, maybe the pesky range continues to stay intact, but you get up over 96 and it's looking like it's in breakout mode. You fall under 90 and it looks like it's sell off mode. So you are in consolidation station here and it's going to make a move one way. And when's its earnings? That could be the catalyst. Is that earnings coming or did we already get them?
Let's look real quick.
I feel like it's coming.
Real quick, too, for Zach.
It'll be the middle of September. So
we got
a couple weeks out. Okay.
Another interesting chart, but it's just been a dog of a dog of a stock. This Bristol Myers, it just seems like every time it has a decent kind of rally, comes out with Opdivo or bad news on some kind of drug. And it's trying here. Fort really needs to clear 48 and clear 48 for good. Looks like you have an institutional seller from 47.80 to 48.01. So it's trying. It's filling a gap that it had from June, but thing needs to get back over 48 in a hurry.
Yeah, solar, Saul talking. We've been talking up solar. TAN made new highs again yesterday here. I own the first one.
Can't stop it.
No, I think it's going to be the trend going forward. I mean, I think pullbacks to be bought in TAN. It gave you a nice little pullback to buy. And now it's back up here at highs again. I think there's it's cleaner energy. I think that continues. I think the trend continues. I think I'm a buyer of pullbacks in ETFs like TAN and solar stocks. And I'm a seller of rallies in traditional oil stocks. I mean, you look at a stock like Halliburton and had a nice little rally for a couple days, dead cat bounce. And then just continues to start leaking again yesterday. I mean, there's so many oil stocks that just look terrible on the chart. So I think it's a continuation. Buy solar, sell oil.
For Elizabeth here, Lowe's had a nice move yesterday. High was kind of near the open, so that's one thing to keep an eye on. You had a high 110.02, or open 110.02, high 110.24. You filled the gap. That was probably from its last earnings report. So I'd be keeping – I think that high from yesterday is going to be a really important level here over the next few days. And I think it needs to get back over that 110, close above 110 and continue. I think if you just hang up here for like a day or two, I don't think it's going to whoosh down right away. But man, oh man, it's got to get back. How many times do you see like these earnings moves? You see a high, you see it hang out for a couple days and either just blast north or fade. So keep, Elizabeth, a real close eye on that 110.24. That was the high in yesterday's session.
More tickers?
Nike.
Oh god, Spinner saying Nike. When's that report? That's soon.
No, Nike is always like at the very, very end. They're like when the last to report. Considering Under Armour crapped the bed at their report, Adidas warned about China. I don't know how I feel about Nike heading into this.
I mean, Dick's is trading up. That's not that there is a ton. You know, obviously it's a lot more Nike stores sold in Foot Locker. But, you know, they do sell shoes there, too, and some Nike products at Dick's as well. So that doesn't hurt it today. Retail's hot. Nike probably has a lift here this morning. I know it's trading up 50 cents here in the pre-market. Gets up near 84. This is a stock that hasn't really, you know, sold off. It's just kind of been hanging out. So it's really hard to make a long-term call because they don't love it, but they don't hate it. It's just kind of there.
Hey, so, what's going on with work? Is there an upgrade?
Oh, I messed this up.
I meant to mention work and I forgot. They got initiated this morning. Let me pull up the exact rating because I just saw it and I forgot to mention it. MKM Partners, initiating with a buy, gave it a $40 price target.
I bought this on that rating change last night, and I bought it at like $30.90. I sold at $31.35. I thought it was good. No, I didn't think it was going $32 on it. So anyways, I sold it way too soon. I'm out.
It's funny because I was looking at the pre-market, or I was looking just at the daily, and I was thinking, man, I'd really like to buy this thing over $31.50. And now I look at it, and it's at $32.04. I don't know how influential this firm is here, but $32.13.
Apparently a lot more than I thought.
Yeah.
I thought when I was making 40 cents on the trade, I was like 1.5%. I was like, that's pretty good.
32.20.
First, I have the FIFO problem again. Alex, FIFO problems here. First in, first out.
32.20 is your roadblock here, and then I see daily highs at 33.33 and 34 even. I'd love to see a pullback. You know, not to the. I don't know if you're going to get to the close now, but maybe a pullback to that 31.50 area. All right, we run a minute over. Spencer, you want to wrap things up and preview tomorrow's show?
Yep. If you missed any part of our show, our podcast is available wherever you get your podcasts or just rewatch our show on YouTube. Thanks to our guest, Mark Chaikin. Thanks to all of you in our chats, both on YouTube and premarket.benzinga.com. Any questions, comments, concerns, email us, premarket@benzinga.com. And please remember all the information from our show meant to be used as informational purposes only, not for investing or trading advice.
Special surprise tomorrow. Special 8:35 segment. I got a special surprise.
I like
for you
surprise.
Guys.
Are we doing another game show?
I'm not revealing anything.
I hope it's really
thought out. Last one. I want to read.
What'd you say, Spencer?
I hope the questions are more thought out this time.
There were tough questions. Like that was like harder than Jeopardy. Those were tough questions.
All right, I have three categories. I'm not gonna say anything.
Okay.
You guys are just gonna have to wait for tomorrow and
cool.
All right. I'm gonna run it a lot better.
Am I risking my job again?
What'd you say?
Am I risking my job again tomorrow?
Yeah. I'll wait to see. All right, man. All right. Everyone have a great trading day. Back with you tomorrow morning.